The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me." The people walking in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he kept calling out all the more, "Son of David, have pity on me." Jesus stopped and ordered that he be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The man replied, "Lord, please let me see." Jesus told him, "Have sight. Your faith has saved you." He immediately received his sight and followed him, giving glory to God. When they saw this, all the people gave praise to God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This extraordinary scene, St. Luke doesn't give us the name of the blind man there in Jericho. St. Mark does. Bartimaeus. St. Augustine gave a commentary about Bartimaeus, getting into the etymology of his name. In Aramaic, tame is basically shame. To be a son of shame was to have someone who had fallen. Later on, when he says, "Lord, that I may see," the actual Greek word there is "see again." It seemed that he had been able to see, but he had fallen. And he had fallen not just in the sense of his physical sight, but he had fallen also into a sense of shame, that whoever he was before, now he was sitting by the roadside begging. So we're going to see how Jesus restores him. But first I want to talk about that fall. Today, in the first reading, we see what happened to the Jews around the year 175 BC when new rulers came from, basically after Alexander the Great died, his kingdom was split. And so there was a ruler in Syria and a ruler in Egypt. Ptolemy was the ruler in Egypt. He was in charge of the Holy Land. And he wanted the Greek gods worshipped. And many of the Jews went along with it. The context for this is very important for us always in terms of religious freedom. The Jews themselves said, "Let us go and make an alliance with the Gentiles all around us." And the proposal was agreeable. And some went to the king, and he authorized them to introduce the way of living of the Gentiles. We're always supposed to be salt, light, and leaven in our society. We're supposed to interact. We're not supposed to follow misnamed Benedict option and run from the world as if that's what Jesus wants. But at the same time, when we interact with the world, we need to interact with the world with the categories of God's kingdom rather than receiving by osmosis or by choice the poisons that sometimes are around. Unfortunately, that's what happened for the Jews. They started to go to the gymnasia, which weren't just health clubs, but there were places where worship was done. And the men in the exercise part of it would, with shame, cover the mark of their circumcision. This was a mark that they were especially consecrated over the Lord. And they were ashamed of that as well. And then we started to get to food, which points to the real hunger. And they began to eat like pagans. God had consecrated their appetites, we could say, by telling them what to eat and what not to eat. Even though God had made it all, it was a way of training them We know what would happen in Joppa with the vision of St. Peter and how God would render all foods clean, but there was a preparatory phase to this so that we would recognize that we were not to worship the God of our bellies, St. Paul would describe in his third chapter of the letter of the Philippians. But we were supposed to consecrate even that to the Lord. And that's why it was such a big deal that they were being commanded to eat pork, as we'll see later on in this letter. So they too had fallen. They too were blind to the meaning of all of this. We see at the very end, however, that many in Israel were determined and resolved in their hearts not to eat anything unclean, not to share the deep desires of the pagans. They preferred to die rather than to be defiled with unclean food or profane the holy covenant. And they did die. You know, we'll encounter in this chapter the seven sons of that great mother who refused to die, who refused to eat pork, and therefore were all brutally executed. We'll see on the other end of life Eleazar, that icon of real wisdom, who himself wanted to set the good example. These were people who, even though they were about to suffer and die, were seeing still. And they said yes to God. And we know that God was rewarding them. Let's return to Bartimaeus. Even though he had fallen from grace, he was still very much open to what God could do. He was waiting for his chance. There he was in the lowest place on earth, Jericho, symbolic of how deeply he had fallen. But as he was told Jesus was passing by, he had doubtless heard of Jesus. He said this was his chance. He cried out with the messianic title, Son of David. He believed that he was the long-awaited one. Certainly, Bartimaeus had long been awaiting him. And he didn't cry out for alms. He didn't cry out initially even about his eyes. He cried out just for mercy. He knew he needed God's mercy. Not mercy on his condition so much, but mercy doubtless because of what had led to the fall. And when the people in front rebuked him, telling him to shut his trap, he kept screaming out all the more. That word that St. Luke uses for calling out is like an animal cry. He just was not going to stop. Son of David, have pity on me. And Jesus stopped and ordered that he be brought. Jesus easily could have gone straight over to him. He was teaching along the way. And we remember what he was teaching. You remember what Saturday was about, right? What was he teaching? Because we live on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Render justice for me against my adversary. The woman was crying out against the corrupt judge. It was the example of persevering prayer. And here Jesus stops his lessons on persevering prayer precisely to show it in Bartimaeus. He wanted him to be prepared for a greater miracle than what he was going to do for his eyes. He wanted him to begin that journey of faith, journey with which he would learn to walk faithfully. So he came. Jesus asked straight to the point, what do you want me to do for you? We can think about that. Jesus is constantly asking us that question out of love. What do you want me to do for you? We'll often marginalize him. Thanks, Jesus. I got it from here. I can do this on my own. I want to prove to myself. I want to prove to others. I want to prove to the world that I'm capable or whatever. And Jesus is constantly saying, what do you want me to do for you? And he asked very directly, beautiful prayer, Lord, that I may see. Lord, please give me my sight back. And Jesus did. and he, with the largesse of the King of Kings, went far beyond that request. "Have sight," he said, "but your faith has saved you. The little trust that you had has led you not just to see again, but to a far greater gift." And as soon as Bartimaeus saw, he began to follow Jesus and glorify God in such a way that all the people began to praise the Lord. There are many times in our lives where we similarly have fallen, where we've injured our relationship with the Lord, injured our relationship with the others, hurt ourselves. Jesus never ceases to pass by. We can learn from Bartimaeus how to cry out to him, not just Son of David as the long-awaited Messiah, but Son of God. To cry out for that gift of mercy in all the ways that the Lord wants to give himself. And he always gives himself mercifully. He wants to help us to see so that we might see him in everything. He wants to help us to hear so that we might hear his whispers like the gentle breezes. He wants us to feel his touch. He wants to stoke up our hungers so that we can taste literally and see his goodness. He wants our faith in him to lead to what he entered the world to give us. Salvation. So today, to the extent that we see, let us glorify God so that others, in watching us follow Jesus along the way, might learn how to cry out, echoing our voices, and glorify God together with us. Praise be Jesus Christ.